This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, bootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 303. You know what that means. It's time to spin the wheel of quarterbacks. The New York Jets decided to move on from Aaron Rodgers. Hell, we could do this for the Giants as well, but I feel like their path is a little more obvious. We can get into that talk as well at 888-808-1019. But we do this thing every day, 3 a.m. You know how I felt? I think the Jets are making a mistake by not keeping
Aaron
Rodgers.
And that's why these are all options for the Giants. But to be fair to them, They didn't dump a Hall of Fame quarterback to choose someone else instead.
Right, already on the roster and giving themselves a $36 million cap hit. No, this is different. And I think Aaron Rodgers should be back. The Jets don't, so we're going to help them out. Every day at 3 o'clock, we're going to go over some of the options they have. We've already done a couple. We did Tyrod Taylor. We did Kirk Cousins. And we did Justin Fields. Those are the three first in the spin wheel. And none of those are better options than Aaron Rodgers. Let's find out if today we can find one. So we go through every day at 3 a.m. and help the Jets out because they're looking for a new quarterback now that they've spurned Aaron Rodgers. Let's see if they can find one better. Today we help them out and spin the wheel. Who do we got?
He is the 31st QB to start for the Jets since Joe Namath's last game as a Jet in 1976. First and 10 from the 25 on the right hash. Bilal Powell in the backfield. Motion man is Inunwa. Donald, play fake, looking, throws across the field to the left, and it's intercepted on his first pass. Intercepted near side, taking it down the sideline. Quandre Diggs into the end zone. Touchdown, Detroit. Calamity for the Jets.
Seen ghosts.
Play action. Donald steps up. Deep shot for Robbie.
Sam Darnold out of the shotgun. Jones picks up a blitzer. Pass right. Caught Addison. To the end zone. Touchdown! Jordan Addison makes it 34-21. And for Sam Darnold, that's a high five for the first time in his career.
Shotgun snap. Five-man rush. He sets in the pocket. There's a line drive far side. It's picked off and a dive on the far side by Durant. On the far sideline, or did it hit the grass? Did he pick it up over on the side? He did at the 42-yard line. It's an interception thrown by Darnold.
Sam Darnold, we know him well. With the first, remember that pick six against the Lions, the first throw of his Jet career? We knew it was going to go nothing but uphill from there, right? Then he moves to Carolina, San Francisco, after the failure with the Jets. And by the way, look, I still think, you know, going back on it, it's who I wanted the Giants to draft instead of Saquon Barkley. He did have that second year where you felt like maybe he threw for 3,000 yards. He had what, 19 touchdowns to 13 interceptions, and maybe you thought, just maybe, you could find your quarterback, and the next year was an absolute debacle. But he's been to Carolina, San Francisco, and last year, Minnesota, 14 wins. Pro Bowl quarterback. Top 10 MVP vote getter. Comeback player of the year, third overall finalist. Had a great year. We normally play this guy sucks. It's not fair to say he sucks because I like Sam Darnold. But for an option for the New York Jets, I just don't see it for a couple of different reasons. One, first and foremost, the flaws of Sam Darnold, which is the big game. And we have seen it now time and time again. And even this year where he was 14-3, playing the best football of his life and being really a dominant force that offense throughout a lot of the year with obviously the coach of the year in O'Connell and the rest of that offense and the arguably the best wide receiver in the sport. And they were making it work and they were winning football games until they needed to. And they went up against the same depleted defense that Jaden Daniels picked apart 2 weeks later or 3 weeks later. In the divisional round of the playoffs, Sam Darnold was awful against the last game of the year with the first overall seed on the line, playoff bye, home field advantage throughout the playoffs, all of that on the line against a decimated Lions defense, and he was awful. And then we saw what happened in the playoffs, and he was brutally bad. Brutally bad. And to come back to the Jets, where he has seen ghosts, where it's been a disaster for him, to come back and join the Jets when, let's be honest, I'm seeing $125 million out there for him on the contract. You could see upwards of more than that off of last year. So I don't know how much money it's going to cost to bring him in, to come back to the Jets with a rookie head coach or an inexperienced offensive coordinator. Like, Sam Darnold is a quality quarterback on many levels. I think there are flaws to his game. But he needs a steady hand. He needs an offensive coach like he got in Minnesota. He needs an offensive coach like he had in San Francisco when he started to show promise. He was bad with the Jets. He was bad with Carolina. He went to San Francisco with a great offensive mind and was better. Went to Minnesota with a great offensive-minded head coach and was much better. You do not want to bring him here into this situation with the history of him in that uniform with a rookie offensive coordinator, a rookie head coach, and a team that is still recovering from the disaster that has been his draft pick and Zach Wilson's draft pick and the last 15 years of ineptitude at the position. You cannot bring Sam Darnold back. It's not the worst of these options. Well, he's not really the worst of the quarterback of the options. He can play in this league, but there is no doubt it would be an out-and-out disaster and one that I'm sure Sam Darnold wants absolutely no part in. So as we spin the wheel and get through another quarterback, and we ask the question every time we do, is this a better option? We don't like Aaron Rodgers because, hey, you can't have him around. Hey, he's bad for team building. Hey, we need to hold players accountable. He creates distractions. We don't want to bring in Aaron. We don't want Aaron Rodgers back. So every day we spin the wheel and see if we have a quarterback better. What's the verdict? Sam Darnold, is he better than Aaron Rodgers? How do we feel about Sam Darnold?
Get off my train!
No.
Be seeing ghosts. Get off my train. One of my favorite scenes from Ghosts. I'd do anything for a drag. Just one drag. I love Ghost. I was going to play the Unchained Melody by the Everly Brothers, but I got talked out of it. Get off my train. Get off my team. Stay in Minnesota. It's what's best for you, Sam. Don't join this debacle of a franchise. 888. You've already seen what happens when you do. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. So we can open it up to the calls on the quarterback situation. Is obviously, I think it broke over the weekend. I don't think I got a chance to talk about it on Friday. Is Matthew Stafford, the Rams have given Matthew Stafford the ability and his agents to go and not, you know, seek a trade necessarily, but to go establish his value. He's allowed to go and talk to teams and see what they'll pay him, which I find to be a very ironic situation and one that is flawed in nature, and I'm not sure it's going to be productive for either the Rams or Matthew Stafford, because if it's public like this, like what teams are going to offer him like a contract knowing that he's just going to take it back to LA? It seems odd, but the Rams, and I still think he ends up with LA, but the Rams are letting him go see what his value is because he is underpaid for what kind of quarterback he is and how the numbers have jumped up. He's making, I believe, $40 million this year. And that's Daniel Jones money. That is not Matthew Stafford money, not in today's NFL. So he wants a upgrade. He wants a raise. And so he's been given an opportunity to go and seek a trade or at least seek what teams value him at, what they'd be willing to pay him if they were to trade for him. And obviously a lot of talk with the New York Giants. And I don't get it for the Giants. Look, does it make them better? Of course. Is it intriguing? Yeah. I was listening to Lori talk. I disagree with her on the idea that the Jets and the Giants are in the same boat of it's just time to get competent football. I don't know if I agree with that. The Giants, and I know it's, I mean, I'm not even saying they've been worse over the last decade than the Giants. The Jets and Giants are on par, no doubt. And over the last handful of years, they probably won more games than the Giants have. But the Giants and Jets are on par over the last 10 years of how inept they've been as a franchise. No doubt. The Jets are not any worse. But that one playoff appearance, they're not shouldering the burden of being the losingest team in professional sports. That's the Jets. That's what they are. Everybody knows it. The stat goes up on ESPN once a week during the football season. They are the losingest team in professional sports. That is different than just being poorly run and having down years. I don't think the Giants are in a position where you have to do whatever it takes just to get fairly good so that we're not all sick to our stomachs every Sunday. I think the Jets benefit from that far more than the Giants do. And I also think the Jets overall roster is more suited to be better and actually have a chance of being legitimately good. Matthew Stafford on the Jets is a better team than Matthew Stafford on the Giants. I firmly believe that. Matthew Stafford with the Jets wins more games and is closer. I don't know if they're a contender or not, but they're closer to being a Super Bowl contender than the Giants with Matthew Stafford. And we talk about the idea of the Hail Mary just to keep their jobs. And, oh, they shouldn't just draft a quarterback just to help keep their jobs. Oh, so they should trade for a 37-year-old quarterback to save their jobs? Now, he's an indoor quarterback. At least that's what he's been. He played with Detroit, plays with L.A., hasn't had to go into the weather and all that issue that's kind of been discussed. He's got one of the best arms, not only in the NFL right now, but really of the last era of quarterbacks. He's got one of the best arms. He threw the ball pretty damn well in the snow in Philadelphia and was going down the field to beat them. Like, it wouldn't worry me so much, either Giants or Jets with Matthew Stafford, about playing in New Jersey and in this weather. Like, that really wouldn't bother me, but I just don't think the Giants are ready to really win with them. And I'm looking for the rebuild. The Jets aren't drafting third. The Jets have this playoff drought over their heads. The Jets have a more talented roster that is less, in my mind, less feasible to kind of rebuild with. Everything suited. Giants should draft a quarterback. Jets should go get the veteran. I don't want to see the Giants win 8-9 games, compete. At least I could say, hey, they weren't awful this year. I don't think they're there. I don't think I still think the Giants can be in a position of rebuild and try and do what's best to eventually, in the next 2 or 3 years, become a Super Bowl contender. I don't want to try and jump that schedule for Matthew Stafford. I don't think the Giants are in a position to win that way. Sure, 8-9 games, sure, maybe even make the playoffs. Great. I get it, and I'm sure the owner, you told him, hey, next year with Matthew Stafford, we can win 10 games and make it to the playoffs. He'd be in for it, considering how awful it's been. I get it. And I know Brian Daboll and Joe Shane feel like their jobs are on the line. They need to win football games. I get it. But Matthew Stafford is a commitment for the next 3 years to go about winning. And the one thing I'll say, and I heard, maybe Fleeks can remind me, I forget the guest name that she was talking to about the quarterback situation, Lori, as I was driving in. He did say something that did make a little bit of sense. I think it was Ryan Dunleavy. I believe he works for the Post. He did say one thing that kind of jumped out at me as appealing. The Giants have had such a question mark with Daniel Jones over the last handful of years. And it's been such an enigma because he's given you a decent enough play. Like, not good enough. I still think Daniel Jones sucks, all that. But he's given you at least a modicum of success, and they made it to the playoffs in year one. He threw touchdown passes, where it's been this constant, and then they gave him a contract off of the playoff year. It's been this constant, do they have a quarterback? Is he legitimately a franchise guy? You know, it's been so up and down. If they bring in Stafford, you know they're settled at the quarterback position, and you can evaluate the rest. Because you know Matthew Stafford is a quality quarterback. So no more. If Matthew Stafford can't function behind this giant offensive line because he's running for his life, then I've got to shut my mouth about, well, Daniel Jones doesn't help the offensive line, and Daniel Jones is a poor quarterback, and I'm tired of the offensive line excuse. Like, it would finally be like, hey, you've got a quarterback who's won a Super Bowl. You got a quarterback who led the Rams to being the best opportunity, the team with the best opportunity to take down Philadelphia in the postseason without question. He's won a Super Bowl. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. You know what he is. If you can't, unless his qualities really fall off the table, which I'd be surprised, but if you bring him in, you have an opportunity to look at everything else because the quarterback position is settled. So, hey, is the offensive line good enough or not? Because this is a good enough quarterback. Can they help this guy win? Because we know he's good enough. Hey, let's see what Neighbors really is with a great quarterback. And let's see what some of these other wide receivers, Wandale Robinson, let's see what Theo Johnson is. Like, all these things get to be seen because the quarterback is a given. And on that angle, it would be a refreshing brand of football where it's like, I'm not worried on whether or not I should be evaluating the quarterback. I know the quarterback can win. If given a good enough team, the quarterback can win. We've seen it. I know it. It's a lock. So on that way, we could just go about evaluating the rest of the team without always having, well, the quarterback sucks in the back of our minds. And that would be extremely refreshing. But I still don't think it's the best way to go about building this team. I still don't. I want to draft the quarterback. I want to start over. I want to build him up. I want to not have to pay him any money as opposed to paying Stafford $50 million and trading assets for him. I don't want to trade a second or a third round pick and then pay Matthew Stafford $50 million a year. I want to build up the rest of the roster by not spending on the quarterback. And I want to be right with the quarterback, and I want to see Brian Daboll develop the young quarterback. I still think that's the best venue for the New York Giants. 888-808-1019. Back to the calls. We can still talk baseball, still talk Yankees, still talk Juan Soto. We'll get to left field with the New York Yankees as well and Jason Dominguez. Mark in Jackson Heights. What's up, Mark?
Hey, C-Man, how are you?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I appreciate you more than you can know. You are great.
Oh, thank you very much. Very kind of you.
I am C-Mac, a longtime road rat saxophone player. I spent my whole life on the road.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Sinatra's band the last 3 years of his life.
Oh, that's awesome.
So anyway, you know, we had that transit strike in New York some years back in the wintertime. I was playing with Rosemary Clooney at the Regency Hotel.
Look at you, Rosemary Clooney.
Do you know about the Regency, C-Mac?
No, not particularly.
That's where George Steinbrenner lived.
Oh, George Steinbrenner lived at the Regency Hotel?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Okay, so here goes. You're going to love this then.
Okay.
So I'm playing with Rosemary Clooney.
Sure.
There's a transit strike. So I got to get to the gig. There's no subway service.
Mm-hmm.
So I ride my bike with my $30,000 gold flute and my saxophone and all my instruments on my back. I decide to go early to the Regency. It's on the east side. So I go into the garage, lock up the bike, and I'm way early, you know. So I'm like, what should I do? Oh, I should practice. So I take my horn out, and I'm playing in the garage with my bike helmet on.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy goes, man, that sounds great. And it was Johnny Damon.
Oh, cool.
And he had a long beard.
Yeah.
He had a beard. And he goes, I'll be right back. So I'm sitting down there practicing, and he comes back in about 45 minutes clean shaven. So he was there to sign the contract with George.
Oh, how about that?
He took his beard off up in George's suite.
That's funny. So, yeah, this is like 2006.
You know, C-Mac, I have to Google that and figure out when that transit strike was. So now dig this. So,
okay,
you know,
there's
how
more. Okay.
Okay, so dig this. So now we're playing the gig in the evening. And you know on Seinfeld how you always see George Steinbrenner from the back, but he's doing the karate chop.
Correct. Yeah, it's David. It's
yeah,
Larry David doing
Larry
the voice
David.
Of Steinbrenner. Yeah.
So we're sitting there playing with Rose, Mary Clooney, and I see Steinbrenner come into the front of the club, and he's doing the karate chop to the maitre d'. And the maitre d' shaking his head no, and George is getting animated, and he's doing more and more chop, and then he stomps off. So the maitre d', George wanted to come and hear us, and the maitre d' said, we're sold out, we don't have a seat for him.
Wow.
You know what happened the next day, C-Mac?
What's that? Your gig got canceled.
No, we had a new maitre d'.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Thank you for the call, Mark. That was an interesting story. Yeah, I know. That was an interesting story. George Steinbrenner firing maitre d's. I mean, how do you not give George Steinbrenner a seat? You figure it out. It's George Steinbrenner. But Johnny Damon actually is in the news. See if you can find that his tweet, Fleegs. Johnny Damon, of all people. You would have figured Johnny Damon would very much be against the beard rule because when he was a self-proclaimed idiot with Boston, I mean, he had the long beard, he had the long hair, and then he had to shave it off to be a Yankee, so I would have assumed that he would be against the beard policy and would be happy today. And I'm curious how Jeter feels about it. I know they posted out, like Jeter put out a picture of him with a beard. I'd be shocked if he didn't have the same reaction that Aaron Judge had, because I remember he wouldn't grow beards in the offseason because he said he was always a Yankee. You know, even in the offseason, he wouldn't grow beards. Like, I'm curious to see what he would say now. I don't know if he's been asked, but I bet you he would say the same thing that Aaron Judge said. Aaron Judge said, hey, listen, I get, you know, pretty much that he's in favor of losing the rule, and he wants players to be able to express themselves, but at the same time, if you want to come be a Yankee and something like this were to keep you from being here, then maybe you shouldn't be here. And I love that. And that's exactly what Jeter. And I've seen a couple of people, a couple of prominent Yankee Twitter fans. And I know Yankee Twitter isn't everybody, but a couple of prominent Yankee Twitter fans had a problem with Aaron Judge saying this. Because now you've got players coming in who are going to shave the beard. What are you saying to Devin Williams? That he doesn't want to be here because he wants to keep a beard? Like, how are you going to welcome him into the clubhouse? Like, that's ridiculous. Aaron Judge is being a leader and saying there's standards here. And whether we get rid of this rule or any other rule, you know, when you want to come be a Yankee, it's about coming and being a Yankee and not worrying about yourself. That's all he's saying. And I think it'll be fine with him and Devin Williams. And again, not to knock Derek Jeter, but everybody immediately, he's not a captain as good as Derek Jeter. He's not this, he's not that. I've seen a lot of that. Because he's losing and not hitting in the playoffs, so he's not as good a captain. I get it. But I will say this forever. I love Derek Jeter, and I'm not saying he's a bad captain. He was a great captain. He's the captain. He's really, it's hard to even think of Aaron Judge, as much as I love him, as the captain. When you say the captain, I think Derek Jeter. That's how I grew up. But, like, he had his flaws, too. Nobody's a perfect captain. And Alex Rodriguez has been was at camp. I saw him on ESPN hitting a half-court shot to win a fan $10,000 at a college basketball game. He was at the Yankee camp. He's been in the news a little bit. Alex Rodriguez came to the Yankees in 2004, and because of his own failures and his own personality, had real trouble fitting in with the New York Yankees. And it was tough for him to establish a real relationship with a lot of players in the room. They thought he was fake. They thought he was this. Again, mostly his fault. But because of an interview he gave 4 years earlier, Derek Jeter never wanted to have anything to do with him again. And the captain didn't do a damn thing to help Alex Rodriguez fit into a Yankee clubhouse. The best player on the team, someone they desperately needed to be their best player if they were going to win championships, someone they were going to rely on, was uncomfortable and needed a friend, and the captain wasn't there for him, and in fact made it harder on him. And I will always say that. That was Derek Jeter's biggest failing as a New York Yankee and as a leader. He did nothing to help Alex Rodriguez feel comfortable in a Yankee uniform. Nothing. So they all have their faults. But the idea that Judge is a bad captain because he mentioned that, hey, in this policy, if something small like this keeps you from being here, maybe you shouldn't be here. I don't disagree. I don't disagree. But the rule is gone now, and we'll see how it impacts people. But again, Johnny Damon, you got to hear this. One, Johnny Damon is always having a good time, that's for sure. Johnny Damon is loving life. But Johnny Damon gave a surprising answer on the beard policy.
Hey, what's going on, everyone? Johnny Damon here on a Virgin Cruise, and it's been absolutely amazing. And I just heard that the Yankees are not requiring people to cut their hair, trim their beards, and you can always have your mustache, but I think we need to keep it how it was with respect to Yogi Berra, Joe DiMaggio, Mickey Mantle, Derek Jeter, and Mariano. Jorge Posada should be a Hall of Famer in my book. And the Yankees are a tradition. Let's keep it. I cut these lovely locks off many years ago, and because George Steinbrenner is such a great human being, such a great boss, that I wasn't even going to question it. Everyone, let's keep the policies the same. Listen to your bosses. Always bring your A game, and let's go.
The great Johnny Damon.
Enjoying everything. That's all you can eat and all you can drink on that cruise.
That's absolutely. He is enjoying that Virgin Cruise. That is no doubt. And the cruise line, yeah, I mean, the pina coladas are not virgin. That's for sure. He's having a good old time. Wish I was on a cruise. I love cruises. People not cruises. I love cruises. But love being out in the open waters. But Johnny Damon. He went to some of my pet peeves, though. He went with the Joe DiMaggio, Yogi Berra. They didn't have this rule during Mickey Mantle and Joe DiMaggio and Yogi Berra. They didn't have this rule. Babe Ruth. As far as, I mean, there was no rule. I don't know if there was a rule in baseball or just some sort of like unspoken rule throughout baseball, but because there aren't a lot of beards. You look through those that era, put on Ken Burns baseball. You don't see a lot of beards throughout the 40s, 50s, and 60s. But maybe the 60s it started to happen. But there is no rule for Joe DiMaggio. So let's cut that out. The rule was instituted in 1976. Thurman Munson was the first Yankee who had to shave. But Johnny Damon, who had to cut his hair, shave his beard, I would have thought he did it for George Steinbrenner, one of the greatest human beings of all time. And let's keep it the same. I do think there's an argument for it. I don't really care. I don't think they needed to do it, but it's certainly not a detriment to the team, nor is it a big hit. I disagree with Johnny. I do. I really don't. I never really thought of it as some sort of real, like, part of the Yankee tradition. I knew it was. I mean, you knew you couldn't shave, and you knew it was a thing anytime they signed someone or traded for someone with a big beard. Like, you were aware. This, like, Johnny Damon, obviously, when he signed, it was a talking point. He's got to cut his hair and shave his beard and everything like that. But the idea that I viewed it as like a real, the 27 championships are the Yankees tradition. That's it. And the pinstripes. I wouldn't change the uniform. I think most of us would have a major problem with that. But besides that, like, the beard rule was just like, I always viewed it as like a Steinbrenner thing that was probably outdated, but we kept it. But I never thought of like, oh man, if the Yankees lost that beard policy, who would they be? They'd be bearded Yankees with 27 championships. Let's go to Dave in East New York. What's up, Dave?
Yeah, good morning, C-Mac.
Good morning, buddy. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, I think you're forgetting what started the animosity between Jeter and A-Rod.
No, I mentioned the article.
Oh, you did?
Yes, so I said because of an article and a quote that Alex Rodriguez gave 4 years prior to him coming to the Yankees is why Derek Jeter couldn't see past that and help a teammate adjust to his new team.
Okay, it's like one of your coworkers tells you, you shouldn't make as much money as this guy or this guy. Then I think it's kind of hard to overlook that, don't you think?
No, not really for a guy. No, if I was making millions of dollars and winning championships while he wasn't, I don't think. I think that he's the captain of the team, and if I were the captain of WFAN and someone from a competitor who had things to say about me now joins the team, it's my job to make sure he benefits and helps WFAN as much as possible. He was the captain of the New York Yankees. He wasn't the captain of grudges. I'm not saying he didn't have a reasonable reason to be mad. And if Alex Rodriguez never came to the Yankees and Derek Jeter chose to never forgive him or never talk to him, none of my business. I'm just saying, as captain, Derek Jeter had a responsibility to help everyone, and especially someone as important. They traded for Alex Rodriguez. He's the best. He's the best player in baseball. He was willing to acquiesce and move to third base for you. And not that he shouldn't have. Alex Rodriguez absolutely should have, and the Yankees did the right thing doing that and everything. It was Derek Jeter's team, no doubt. But Derek Jeter should have made sure that their best player was more comfortable and that their best player was welcomed in the clubhouse. And, had a relationship with them at all to try and make them feel more comfortable because the guy was important to them. And maybe he would have been better. Maybe he would have been better in the postseason. Maybe he would have felt more relaxed. I don't know. But Derek Jeter had his grudge about his, and whether that's fair or not, and sure, the comments are bad and stupid. Ask the Mets in 2000 if they prepared not to, deal with Derek Jeter, of all they cared about, because the quote was, you go to play the Yankees, and you don't have to, Jeter hits second, I hit third. It's a completely different thing. Nobody goes to play the Yankees and says, oh, we can't let Derek beat us. We worry about O'Neill and Bernie Williams. That was the quote. And it's a ridiculous quote, a stupid quote, and I understand why Derek Jeter was pissed about it. His friend badmouthed him in a magazine for no apparent reason, just to make himself look better. It's part of why Alex Rodriguez had a problem connecting in the clubhouse to begin with. I'm not saying Jeter's the reason why he was awkward and the teammates didn't like him and he came off as fake and he had all the issues he had in the Yankees clubhouse. It wasn't Jeter's fault. Jeter wasn't out to get him. Jeter just didn't help him. And as a captain, that's part of your responsibility. And this isn't to get on Jeter. Jeter's a great captain. I love Derek Jeter. I'm just saying, we act like, judges unwelcoming now. I've seen that a lot. Judges unwelcoming to Devin Williams. What does that say? Devin Williams is the main reason behind it, this new rule. He wants to grow a beard. And you're out there saying, hey, if you want to grow a beard more than be a Yankee, maybe you shouldn't be here. And that's unwelcoming to Devin Williams. And I don't know if I see it that way, but I can tell you one captain who was unwelcoming to a new addition, and that's a pretty good example. Let's go to Julius in Hempstead. What's up, Julius?
Hey, what's going on, man? Real quick.
Yes.
So as far as the New York Giants in the draft,
yes,
right? I just feel like the Giants should probably just go ahead and draft, hear me out, just draft Travis Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And then you might have to get a QB for a 1 year, 2 year deal. Cause I'm be honest with you, I'm not really sold on Shedeur Sanders and Cam, mainly because, Cam quit on his team in the bowl. And then Shedeur, I just feel like he's gotten hype because of, his father. And it's he just seems like he's an average QB to me.
What I would say is Cam, a bunch of guys decide not to play the second half of meaningless bowl games. I know it's the Pop-Tart Bowl. I know he didn't play the second half. It's the Pop-Tart Bowl. He's going to go to the NFL. I mean, you want to see him get hurt in the second half of the Pop-Tart Bowl? I really don't think his teammates... I don't think his teammates minded all that much. He was also brilliant in the first half of the game with pinpoint accuracy. And Shedeur Sanders is far better than just someone who's getting acknowledgement because of his father. Is he going to be a great quarterback in the NFL? Hell if I know. I have no idea. But, I mean, you listen to scouts. He's not a major prospect. No, he's not Love. He's not, he's probably not even Love. He's probably Love. I don't know. He's as good as Love was as a prospect. He's not... Trevor Lawrence, he's not Andrew Luck, who I meant to say instead of Love. He's not one of these big, he's not Peyton Manning, obviously. He's not one of these big time, no doubt. You move heaven and earth to go get him if you believe, you know, if you can. Not that. But if you listen to scouts, he is arguably the most pure passer in the draft. He does have skills. He is worthy of a first-round pick. Maybe not the first one or two, but he's a first-round pick, draft pick, and he's someone who has the potential to be a franchise quarterback. And it's just a matter of what Brian Daboll believes in. I'm with you. I kind of like Ward better than Shedeur, but I think you need to get a quarterback. And what quarterback are you going to get for a year or two? And what are you going to do with him? Are you going to get Kirk Cousins in here for a year or two? Who are you gonna Justin Fields? You want to bring in Justin Fields who can't throw? Who his own team, like last year, I think we all agree Mike Tomlin is one of the best coaches in the NFL. He started off the year winning. He was 4-2 in six games. They moved on from him to Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson won a bunch of games, played well, and then faded down the stretch to the point of being almost unplayable, and yet they still didn't go back to Fields, who won them games. Like, I don't think there's a better option for 1 or 2 years. Draft a quarterback and then bring in Justin Fields and draft a quarterback.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 343, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, another hour or so as we take it to the warm-up show. And, you know, speaking about Alex Rodriguez just a little bit, he obviously was at camp. I don't know if he'll be at camp anymore. I know he was already on to...
See what he did at Bucknell?
I saw what he did at Bucknell. I forgot it was Bucknell. I did mention it. At Bucknell, he hit a half-court shot to win a Bucknell student $10,000. That's Alex Rodriguez, man. The gifts never... the guy is just... What a wonderful human being that Alex Rodriguez is. And let me just say this, in all seriousness, because I mentioned it, because he posted a picture of him and his locker and his number 13 jersey prominently, you know, showing in the picture. And I know it's already happened in this studio as the banner hangs. It's already been a year, my goodness. February 16th of 2024, A-Rod Day, where A-Rod's number is retired in this studio. I do think that number 13 should be retired. If we're going to retire all the other numbers that have been retired and all the different guys, and it's as easy as it is to have your number retired as a Yankee, like, I know everyone hates him. I know he took steroids and got banged. And he sued the team. I don't care about any of that. As a fan, I don't care that he sued the team doctor. I don't think it ended up coming to fruition anyway. Like, I don't care. He played 12 years with the New York Yankees. He hit 351 home runs, drove in 1,000 runs, had a career 900 OPS with the Yankees, and was the absolute driving force of a championship. So I'm sorry, 12 years, two MVPs, and was the best player and the number one reason why they won their only championship in the last quarter century. Name another player for the New York Yankees who has that resume who doesn't have a plaque or doesn't have their number retired in Monument Park. 12 years. We got guys like Reggie Jackson, and I appreciate Reggie Jackson. He won one more championship than Alex Rodriguez. Won one more. He played with the Yankees for like 6 years, never won an MVP, won two championships, Mr. October, number retired. 6 years. Alex Rodriguez was a Yankee twice as long, won two MVPs, and not only was he along for the ride in 2009, he carried them into the World Series and through the World Series. Now, he wasn't the MVP of the series, and rightfully so, Matsui went off. But look at that ALCS. Look at the series against the Twins, and then even look at his games in the World Series. He won them the 09 championship, two MVPs, played 12 years. And if it weren't for steroids, no-brainer Hall of Famer. Name another guy with that resume who's not retired in Monument Park for the New York Yankees. I got dopes on Twitter telling me Scott Brosius is a better Yankee. I love Scott Brosius. I love him. Huge home runs, you know, game five of the 0-1 World Series, that home run is... He hits the home run that ties the game in the ninth, and he lays down the bunt that moves the runner over to second base for Soriano to drive in to win the game. Like, he was great. Nobody was better coming in on the ball defensively. I love Scott Brosius. To put him in the same sentence as Alex Rodriguez is just stupid. The New York Yankees are desperate for a third baseman right now. Desperate. If I told you right now they traded for Scott Brosius from the Oakland A's, who hit 210 last year, we'd all be screaming Brian Cashman's and a moron. Like, we got to relax. Scott Brosius is not a better player or a better Yankee than Alex Rodriguez. He was part of that dynasty, no doubt. So was Chuck Knobloch. So was Chad Curtis. So was Ricky Ledé. So was Shane Spencer. So was Cody's father, Clay Bellinger. Those are not better Yankees than Alex Rodriguez. Joan in Manhattan. What's up, Joan?
Oh, hi, Chris. A couple of things. First, I'm wondering, this is the first time I haven't listened to the fan, you know, before this year.
Okay.
So this is the first time I'm listening during Sprino's practice, you know, spring training. What does the fan do? Do they send their host down there? Are you doing the show from there? Are you doing the show from here? You are.
Yes, I'm live from Tampa, Georgetown, Brenner Field right now.
Oh, you are.
Yeah.
So does that mean everybody does that, or they send you down serially? Like,
yeah, no, we kind of stagger it. I think the morning show is going next week. And then the afternoon drive, probably right before the season, Evan is going to go down with the rest of the guys, and they'll do Port St. Lucie and Tampa. And I believe I'm throwing out the ceremonial first pitch on Friday. So I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. So now it's Steinbrenner Field. That's what you call it?
Yes.
The practice area?
Yes.
Is that the area, is that the field, the stadium that is being rented out to Tampa Bay?
Yes,
Tampa
it is. Bay? Yes, it is.
And they will be using it again this year?
They're going to play their season. Their home games will be at George Steinbrenner Field, the Tampa Bay Rays. All year long. So the Yankees, I'm having a little fun with you, Joan. I'm not at Steinbrenner Field. We do the shows from here for spring training. We don't really go down and do the shows from there. We're doing it from. I'm a bad guy. I was having a little bit of fun. No, we don't go down there. I'm live at the studios here in New York City. But What I was going to say is the Rays. Because of the condition of their stadium in St. Pete, the Trop, they are going to play in Tampa Bay, and the Yankees got a payment of $15 million to let them do so.
And oh, my goodness.
We'll find out if, you know, how it goes, because, again, it does not have a roof, and come July, August, it tends to rain a lot in Tampa. So I think they're playing a lot of their games early in the year to try to avoid some bad weather in Florida, but because the Trop was a dome. But, yes, the Tampa Bay Rays are playing at the Yankees facility. In all seriousness, I'm hoping to go down there for the first series ever there, the Yankees playing Tampa in the middle of April. Hopefully I'll be down there for that. But no, spring training, it's not something that we might go down for a day or two. If Evan's a big-time Met fan, he might go down for a day or two. But the entire shows won't go down, no.
Oh, I see. Okay. The other thing is, what is the first day? When is the first game going to be played? And who are the Yankees playing?
The first game of the regular season or the first game? Because they've already played spring training games. Joe, I appreciate the call and thank you for listening. And thank you for allowing me to have a little bit of fun with you. The first game is March 27th, and the New York Yankees are playing the Brewers. That is the opening day. Let me just make sure. That's true. I'm pretty sure it is. Yeah, so it's definitely March 27th. Did I say April 27th? I'm not sure. March 27th this year, and they are playing the Milwaukee Brewers at 3 o'clock. So that is opening day, March 27th. Looking forward to it. Can't wait. Enough of the spring training. I've had enough already. Let's get to the season. I've had enough of Jason Dominguez in left field as well. I'm torn on the Jason Dominguez in left field thing. If you haven't seen yesterday, Jason Dominguez playing left field for the New York Yankees, lost the ball in the sun, which could happen in center, could happen in left, could happen in right. Left field, it's in Tampa, the game was at 1. It's a high sky. In the Grapefruit League, we've seen this problem a lot with outfielders, but still. He's trying to learn the position of the left field. He's a natural center fielder. He struggled with the position immensely last year, and it kept him off the playoff roster. So he's got all of spring to learn left field. And there was another ball that he could have caught. I think he overran a little bit, took a bad route. He's learning left field. So the people who are screaming, and I understand the point, he's more comfortable in center. They need him offensively. Bellinger can play left, center. It doesn't matter. Just put him in center field, make him more comfortable, and let him focus on his at-bats more than learning a new position and how the ball comes off the bat for, how it fades against left-handed hitters, the different angles off the bat. It's difficult. It's a more difficult position. You cover more ground in center field, but you can argue the corner outfielders get different slices on the ball that center fielders don't have to deal with. So there's part of me that screams that. There's part of me, just put him in center. But then there's the part of me that says there's no reason Jason Dominguez can't learn to play left field over the course of spring training. So everyone was already declaring it a failure. It's the second game he's played all spring. We knew he was going to be learning this position. It's going to take a little bit of spring. And if it gets to the point where they're a couple days away from the season and they don't feel comfortable with his play in left field, then they will move him to center field. And let Cody Bellinger play left. But it is a tricky situation. It's the only question mark they have defensively right now, right? Because this pivot, we've talked so much about plan B and the pivot and how much it sucks. At least that's how I feel about it. They pivoted and transitioned to a more athletic pitching defensive team. And they are far better defensively in a handful of positions, right? Even like you're going to have Wells, who was much better than we thought at catcher. Goldschmidt is going to be better than Rizzo. There's no doubt Rizzo was awful last year. Jazz at second base is going to be better than Glaber. Whoever plays third is probably going to be better than Jazz at third. They're going to be, I think, Cody Bellinger is a better center fielder than Judge, and Judge is clearly a better right fielder than Juan Soto. The only real question mark defensively, and we know Volpe is an excellent defensive shortstop. The only question mark is left field. That's it. And this is a team that's pivoted to pitching and defense, and hopefully the lineup's good enough. They didn't go out there and make sure they had the best offensive team. They went out there and made sure that they made up for their deficiencies defensively. That was their pivot. defense and pitching. We know when we lose Juan Soto, we're not going to score as many runs, so let's go out there and make sure we can prevent as many as possible. And if you're going to go into the year with a defensive left fielder who, so far all of last year and so far the first couple games, first week here in spring training, proves he can't catch fly balls in left, it's going to be an issue. So here's what I'll say. I'm concerned about it. There's no reason why he can't figure out left field. And if for some reason he can't, he will be playing center field when the season starts. Because they cannot throw him out there not being able to make plays in left.